Thank you, Zach. We got Psalm 23 and Psalm 25 out of the way. Thank you for leading those. I've got a question to ask you. How many songs in this book do you think are inspired by the book of Psalms? Do you think it's between, how many think it's at least 100? Raise your hand, okay? How many think it's between 100 and 125? Raise your hand. More than 125. Raise your hand. That's correct. It's about 140 songs. The word Psalms means what? Anybody know?
Praise.
Pardon me?
Praise.
Pardon me? That's, yes. That's one, and that's even a more specific use of it. It really means poem as well as song. And with the remembrance, we've got to remember these are poems, but they were the songbook, really, that was used the time of Christ and all those times. Very, very, I'm just blessed by that. I think I'm more blessed than you are because I had to pull my thoughts together this week about this book right here. And believe me, it's a lot to talk about in 30 minutes. It's not going to be a verse-by-verse study or 29 minutes, actually, or 39 minutes, but we will finish at a correct time. Martin Luther called Psalms the a miniature Bible or a Bible within the Bible, and because it encompasses so much. And of course, we're discussing tonight 1 through 26, essentially. And I want to have a discussion about some of this, since you guys have read it. And I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to talk about these various psalms in great detail, even though they're wonderful to talk about. Psalms 2, or Psalm 16, or Psalm 19, or Psalm 23, or 22, all so rich. I really want to defer to have this be a little bit of an introduction about Psalms, because we're going to be in it for the next couple of weeks. And next week's person, or the week after, can take it a different direction if they want to. Most of the Psalms, who is the author, we believe, of most of the Psalms? David. Around 70 to 75 of the Psalms. We really don't know a lot of the details. A lot of scholars don't know what that word Selah means that we come across. We do know that we're basically five books, and there's a little doxology at the end of each of those five books that tells you you've come to the end of one. And the very last book is a very long doxology. What were some of David's skills that makes him equipped to write this book? Samuel tells us he was a what? Musician. And he was also a very good what? What do we say the Psalms are? A poet. He was a poet. His skills. Basically, let me throw out some questions. Could a couple of y'all get that whiteboard out? I was going to write some things on that whiteboard. It's in the room right here. And what I wanted to do was look at the significance of Psalms for us as Christians today. And I know it's got huge significance. And I want to go through the tie-ins for us of Psalms in the New Testament. Thank you very much. And also, kind of close with some application thoughts for us this evening. What are the, right off the top of your head, what are some of the benefits that we have in reading the Book of Psalms? Just an open-ended question here. What are the things we derive when we go to that book? It's very different. We've changed courses. When Jesus referred to the Psalms and the prophets, which he did several times. In fact, Before I ask that question, everyone turn to Luke chapter 24, if you would. Luke chapter 24. After Jesus was crucified and was resurrected, we learn the closing things that he did before his ascension are found in Luke chapter 24. And starting in verse 27, it says, "And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go further, and they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' And he went in to stay with them. And it came about that when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?'" Note that phrase there. "And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them." Let me jump down to verse 44 and following. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." You know, prior to that time, would they have understood the meaning of Psalm 22? His disciples at this time, they understood Psalm 22. They'd been reading it all their lives growing up. They understood the prophets, and they understood the things that were in it. But it was at this time, their hearts burned within them while he explained to them that they would cast lots for his clothing. He opened his eyes to these things, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The significance for us is so clear as to the significance of the Psalms. But what else are the Psalms to us in terms of why we turn to those? What do we gain from reading the Psalms? Anyone at all, just this week, this past week? I have a place I'm going with this, so. Comfort? Yes, yes. In a way, we can't get anything else. Pardon me?
Consolation.
Learn something of human nature?
Okay.
You want to expound on that a little bit there?
With all the emotions that the writer goes through, it really helps you understand that.
About when David was under the, being hunted by Saul? Saul?
That's an example of it, but almost all of the Psalms, there's emotion, deep emotion. Some of it's praise, some of it's sadness, sorrow, guilt, all kinds of emotions.
So we learn something about our own human nature, as well as the writers. That's shouted from those pages. You're right. That's a great point. We approach God. David's familiarity was his relationship
his reliance upon God and his trust.
So, any other points, though, about that? About it's a big topic, I know, so it's trying to... what was the importance of the Psalms in the life and teaching of Jesus? This is the book he would have in the synagogue. This is the book he would in the temple festival. It would be the hymn book. He used it in his teaching. He met temptation with it. He sang the halal from it after the Last Supper. He quoted from Psalms from the cross. And he died with Psalms on his lips. Matthew 27:46. And from the earliest times, you know, the reason it's not just a book of for the nation of Israel, but it's a book that Christians can claim. We can look at all the hymns of praise that we have modeled from Psalms. And by the way, grab your songbook. Let's just look at those very quickly. And the supplement doesn't have those. And Zach, I appreciate, he had texted me earlier today and said, how many songs do you want me to sing? You know, 30. And I could have deferred to him the whole floor, and we could have just sang Psalms tonight. But in the back at the Scripture Index, you know, if you want to try to find a topical, the entire page there, and as we go forward the next several weeks, this is a good reference. And it truly are some of the most beautiful songs we sing and thoughts that we sing are found here. Just from chapters 1 through 26, I think there's 31 different songs from this book right here. And the writers, the lyricists knew the best material they could find for writing songs. I want to ask you to look at a couple of different places where hymns were modeled. Turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, where we find essentially songs or psalms that were built on the inspiration from Psalms in the New Testament. There's the situation of when Mary went to Elizabeth's house, and it came about that when Luke chapter 1 and verse 40, it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment what the Lord has been spoken to her. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior." That's from Psalms 34:2 and 35:9. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. From Psalm 138:6. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy upon generation after generation. From Psalm 103:17. And we go on. But I just want to look at a couple more examples of how much this was intertwined in the lives of the times of the New Testament. Turn the page over to Luke 1 and verses 67 and 68. When Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and again, it begins essentially a song or a psalm. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us." From Psalm chapter 2, I believe, where we learn that the phrasing about shield and a horn and a refuge. "In the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." All references through the book of Psalms. And other references will be to Hosea and Isaiah and Jeremiah and then one other within Luke is chapter 2 and verse 29. And it's all these events early in the life of Christ. And we know that Simeon, verse 25, chapter 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." And you can jump down to verse 29. "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And then you can go on and look at the inspiration that Psalms were for the apostles. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And the setting here is that the disciples have just been released from jail. And Peter and John, we pick up in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4, says, "When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David thy servant did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Both from Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And their quotation from Psalms, and throughout Christians' messages, Acts chapter 2 and verse 25, we're very familiar with, from Psalm chapter 16. For David says of him, "I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken." And I want to come back to that verse in just a moment as we close. Go over to Acts chapter 13 and verse 33. In Paul's sermon, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children that he raised up Jesus, it is as it is also written in the second psalm, "Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee." You know, if someone would contest the significance of the Psalms, and the historic validity of it, it would clearly be a mistake, because of the it's confirmed in so many ways in the events of the New Testament. And we're not going to go into detail, but Hebrews, Psalms were used throughout the book of Hebrews to set forth, you know, very, very significant beliefs. Hebrews 1:6. 10:13, 2:6-8, many, many other places. Really, the book of Psalms was, light was shed on it by the arrival of the new covenant, the New Testament, by Jesus, and by the light. It was really from the Gospels. And I want you to turn, though, if you would please, to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16. I actually was inspired by a lesson I heard. I was checking out the preacher in Chesapeake, Virginia, where Mike and Ashley are. It's really great. You can go online and listen to preachers and say, I wonder if they'll have a good preacher there. So I was listening to some of his sermons, and he had a sermon related to this point right here. We just mentioned Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, 28, and that's quoted from Psalm 16, And verses 8 and 9, it says, "I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." Starts out in verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who has counseled me, indeed my mind instructs me in the night. I've set the Lord continually before me." And I'm thinking, is there an application? What did David mean by that? And I have my own thoughts, but I'd like to open that up. What are some ways
that we can do as David did. Or
some things may be different in our lives than David's life. But that's a very specific point he makes, that he set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Several of the prior psalms talk about not being moved. So let me open that up and we'll close here in just a few minutes. What are some things we can do to set the Lord continually before me? Some of these may be obvious points. Rick. Prioritizing, seek me first. Okay. Yes. That's really a more practical. That's really kind of where I was, because that's almost, we could almost say, well, how do you do that? You know? And that's study. If you're studying, then his word is before you. Yes. Literal. Putting the Lord in front, yes. Setting God continually before me. So that's a foundational point, yes.
Go along with the word study, meditate, you mentioned several times.
Yep. I read some
things about that Lord, accept my, and it'll say meditation and my prayer, and it's meaning the prayer that you offer, you've thought about, and the Lord accepts your thoughts prior to your addressing Him. Was my understanding of the, because those two are often put together. So, yes, that's a great thought. Or it's right from Psalms, basically. Anything else?
Related to meditation, you made the connection to prayer, but also be connected to our study. We study God's Word, and then when we put the book down and we go about our day, our work, whatever, we're meditating, we're thinking about what we've studied, we're thinking about what we read earlier.
And you made me think of one that was in this little talk I was listening to. This is really basic, but you're here tonight. You know, this is, how can we set the Lord before us? You assemble. You're neglecting to assemble versus assembling. And I want to remember that point, and you made me think about that. Even though that wasn't exactly what you were discussing. I'm going to end that one. Because we all know the significance of that. And when you're not with the church, the things you don't hear and are neglect to hear versus coming together. There was a couple more in that little talk. And this one's not even related to religious necessarily, but on many occasions, it's really got to do with outdoors. Can we set the Lord before us with the things in nature? You know, Jesus would go off to pray, and many other examples to meditate on Psalm 19, and the heavens declare the glory of God, and all the firmament declares His, help me out on that one. Let's see. And all the earth is declaring the work of His hands. Would you affirm with that? Would you agree with that? That's to meditate on meditate on things, on other things.
As a recognition that God of his power and creation of everything, that I think it goes back to a lesson I'm saying, no matter what we see, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're experiencing, we're seeing God's blessing.
Yeah. Thank you. I could go on with some other things, but we need to continue reading the Psalms. And I'm not sure if the ones who organized this have Psalm 119 as one of the chapter, one chapter. It's considered one chapter. Is it? Have we broken that Psalm up in our reading? I was scared when I looked at that and said, man, is that one of the four chapters for that day? It is. Yeah, I'm sure it is. But yeah. Yeah. But yes. So that last point of enjoying God's creation, we'll do that 5 minutes. 5 minutes sooner tonight. Thank you, brethren, and we'll close now with a word of prayer.